Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and I'm joined by RFERL Enterprise Editor Carl Schreck today. There are a few things going on this week, such as the sea breeze exercises off Ukraine and the meeting of OPEC and non-OPEC countries, including Russia. We're going to take a different tack, though, and talk about something that happened late last week, but I think has implications for the future. It's basically the question of whether Putin is an ideologue or a pragmatist, which I guess is related to the question of whether he's a strategist or a tactician. Does he have a big idea that he's pursuing, or does he look at what's going on around him and try to take advantage of that to advance his interests, maybe separate from the question of whether or to what degree those coincide with Russia's interests? These questions are raised time and again, and there's been a fair amount of talk on Twitter and in the media on the subject just the past few days as a result of Putin's interview with the Financial Times, which coincided with the G20 meeting in Osaka, Japan, on Friday and Saturday. Putin made a comment about liberalism having outlived its purpose, he said, and being, quote, no longer tenable. And some quite strident or striking comments also about migration, particularly from the Middle East, and gay rights and homosexuality. So, Carl, first of all, welcome. Thanks for being on the show again.
Happy to be here.
So what do you think, Carl? Did this interview give any clues as to where Putin lies on the spectrum, I guess, between an ideologue and a pragmatist, or however one should put it?
I think he's very conservative, and I think that this interview only reinforced my perception of him as such. But I saw it more as evidence of his pragmatism, and I think, as Leonid Bershitsky pointed out in Bloomberg, and which I were my thoughts immediately as well, that this is more just signaling. I think the Russian officials and Kremlin loyalists for years have been courting populist movements both on the left and the right in Europe and in the United States. And so I saw this just as mere signaling to those political forces in the West. And I think Putin is just kind of openly embracing now, his image of this, a tough-talking populist liberal world order leader. I think it just kind of buttresses what's been going on at a slightly more subtle level across Europe and in the United States over the past several years.
Yeah. That's interesting. I definitely agree. I think, on one level he is a conservative person. And I think, he made, but I think this was mostly signaling, particularly, he had one quote about there being six genders and how, I don't understand that. That sounded sort of, I thought, in line with the way he maybe thinks and, what kind of person he is. It sounded like any number of, conservative older people like Putin might say something like that. Although I think he was also playing to, the conservatives both in Russia and abroad with that comment. Which he then, I guess, repeated again a bit in a press conference at the end of the G20 summit. But I thought, and I didn't notice this at first, but his comments about migration when he criticized Angela Merkel for what had been her, liberal or lax or permissive migration policy, he made some comments that were actually sounded a bit more strident or more almost racist than he does sometimes, particularly considering the fact that he needs to look, he has to treat the migrant issue with care in Russia. He said the liberal idea presupposes that migrants can, that nothing needs to be done, that migrants can kill, plunder, and rape with impunity because their rights as migrants have to be protected. And that was something, I haven't heard him use that wording before. And I think that kind of showed, at least to me, that he is using this as a platform for, you know, to kind of, you know, score points and send messages, you know, to the far right. I think here he's sort of playing to the far right, to anyone in Europe who you know is upset about their government's migration policies or who is inclined to who is inclined to think that way. And I think also he was specifically playing. He kind of used it to criticize Merkel, who's on her way out. And then also to kind of butter up Trump, who he probably, hope stays in power for another 5 years, I guess it is. So I think certainly that those quotes, I don't think those kind of came from the heart. I think they were something that he said in a calculated way. And again, I think on the gay rights issue, I think he was kind of, I think he had said the six genders thing before, earlier, you know, months ago or something. So it's one of those things that he does repeat himself quite a lot. So I think that's more in line with sort of the way he thinks. But, those other comments about migration, I thought really kind of, brought home the idea that he's using this interview and that he's being a pragmatist or trying to win support.
Yeah, the migrants line caught my eye as well, because I do think it's the first time I can remember him saying something publicly in that vein. Certainly, Russian state media has. In recent years, seized on the issue of migration in Europe, and has certainly played up the rape and plunder aspect of it. Whereas Putin himself, and this commonly happens, where the state media reports will be much more extreme and volatile, and Putin will kind of play it a little more quietly. So it was interesting to see him basically jump on board with that narrative so publicly. And in fact, it's closer in line to what his hardline critics in Russia are advocating. And oddly enough, it's closer to what opposition leader Alexei Navalny has been pushing for, which is basically a visa regime with countries from Central Asia and from the Caucasus. The Russian government has walked a very it's been a real balancing act for them to kind of placate their hardline critics from nationalist elements, while maintaining a relatively liberal migration regime, because they need the workers. As far as the LGBT stuff and gay rights, I mean, yeah, that was actually the first time I'd heard this five or six genders line from him. I think this is, I'm sure a person of his generation, this may be kind of new territory for him. I concede that, but it seemed more of just a talking point to me, especially since he trotted it out twice in the space of like 3 days, first in the FT interview and then in the press conference. At the press conference also, he feigned to not know what transgender is. He called them transformers.
Right.
It reminded me of the time he appeared to feign lack of knowledge about wealthy accoutrements like Lamborghinis, when he called it a Lamborghini, I think. This seemed all kind of very, very staged and calculated to me.
Yeah, that's interesting that you mentioned that kind of feigning ignorance. I guess he did the same thing when he was challenged a bit on the Skripal poisoning by the interviewer who pointed out that somebody had died after coming into contact with Novichok in England. And Putin said, sort of, did somebody die? You know, as if he was unaware of that. So that is, and your point about about his domestic critics or hardline or nationalist, conservative, ultra-conservative maybe critics, that's very interesting because I had been thinking of his comments about the migrants as pretty much purely something he would tailor and say to a mostly foreign audience, and that he wouldn't say maybe, in a domestic speech. But it would be interesting to see whether, could it be a sign of some kind of a shift, whether in rhetoric or in reality, as he goes on in this term and needs to deal with different forces in Russia. So, whether it was in fact tailored partially also to a domestic audience, quite interesting. He also said, I think, in the same interview, he said Russia, he was talking about religion. He said Russia is an Orthodox country, which he may have said before, I don't know, but obviously there are four so-called traditional religions in Russia. And I think normally he kind of takes that into account and doesn't really just come forward with the idea that Russia is Orthodox. I mean, obviously, in that case, you're ignoring the other large religions, including Islam. So interesting to see whether these are sort of one-off things or whether there's any trend involved.
Yeah, I just back to the Skripal thing and also feigning ignorance. It also reminded me of the time when that meeting with Yuri Shevchuk and other people, the musician, rock musician, who was very critical of Putin's decision to return to the Kremlin. And he was meeting with other figures, civil society figures, and he asked Shevchuk, "Oh, I'm sorry, what's your name? I don't know." One of the most famous Russian rock musicians. And Shevchuk said, "Oh, my name's Yuri. I'm a musician." But also regarding the Skripal thing, I mean, it was interesting. He said, we didn't have anything to do with it, but what he did was bad. What Skripal did was bad. And, it was very much reading between the lines. And it just really shows, the FT people have caught some flack for, not going harder at Putin, but he's gotten really good at this over two decades. Even confrontational interviews, if you look back to how he was in that infamous Kursk interview with Larry King, he's just gotten really good at handling confrontational interviews. Armin Wolf, the Austrian journalist, really took him to task over Crimea and Little Green Men last year. You could say Putin was, he was getting a little, a little riled up, definitely. And Wolf pushed him very hard, but he's really learned his craft in these matters.
Yeah, and I think, there was also debate, of course, about, about the fact that he was not challenged on several things, including the, Ukrainian sailors who are in custody. And the issue, some people thought he should, and some journalists thought the Financial Times should have, pressed him more on those issues and tried to challenge him. And so there was debate about, how much worth, which is more worthwhile, to kind of try to get his positions on big things, or to try to challenge him on issues where we know that Russia is really not telling the truth about MH17, that sort of thing. But they are practiced and essentially just say, well, even if there is a lot of evidence or what most people would call proof, they say there is no proof or no evidence. So, at some point, obviously challenging him on these, raises the issue and shows him and Russia that people care about it. But it might not necessarily produce, a change in the way he's talking about them. So interesting. But I guess that's it for today. Thanks very much, Carl. Appreciate it.
Sure thing.
And I'll be back next Monday to take a look again at the week ahead in Russia. Thanks for listening.